Hi, I'm Siobhan Fletcher, one of the journalists up at Manx Radio. This week, a number of residents in Foxdale received letters from Ballasalla Medical Centre. They stated that unfortunately they do not have the capacity to keep patients on their list who currently live outside their catchment area. This was news to a lot of residents who've been at the surgery for several decades, including some of our listeners who got in touch with us. We've seen one of the letters which states, "We understand you may be upset at having to move surgery, especially if you've been with us for some time. However, we are finding it increasingly difficult to offer appointments to patients who are in our catchment area due to the current pressures that the NHS is feeling as the total number of patients increase. We ask that you register with another practice in order for your medical records to transmit electronically to your new practice. You will be removed from our practice list in the new year." We reached out to Manx Care, who sent us a statement. The statement reads, "The decision to remove patients who are outside of Ballasalla Medical Centre's catchment area has not been taken lightly by the practice and is a result of the population increase in Ballasalla, vastly increasing the number of patients being registered with the practice. Ballasalla Medical Centre has had to take action to ensure it can continue to offer a service to the patients within its catchment area. A number of patients who've received the recent communication from Ballasalla Medical Centre have been patients at Ballasalla for a considerable number of years and were retained by the practice when the boundaries were changed some years ago. This, unfortunately, can no longer continue to be the case as the population continues to increase in their catchment area. A large number of patients who were contacted reside in Foxdale and St John's, which falls outside of the boundary area for the centre. The practice has reviewed all patients clinically before making the decision to contact the individuals concerned." They go on to say that residents in Foxdale and St John's are within the catchment area of Peel Medical Centre, and Snaefell Surgery is also more than happy to accept new patients. Now, the letter sent out to residents also states that the practice boundary is set by the Department of Health and Social Care. So, we reached out to Health Minister Laurie Hooper to get his take on the matter.
Ultimately, from a Department of Health perspective, this is very much an operational matter. GPs are independent businesses, they're independent contractors, actually, for want of a better phrase. So they operate under contract with Manx Care, they're essentially a commissioned service. So from a department's perspective, this is very much a decision that's been taken by the practice itself, and the department actually hasn't been involved at all in this decision-making process.
Do you not think that as the health department and as health minister that it does fall to the Department of Health because ultimately it just does not show that our whole system's under a lot of pressure at the moment?
I think we know the system's under a lot of pressure. Ultimately, the decision that's made though by the individual GP practices about their lists is very much made by them as a practice. The people that have been deregistered by one practice will be able to register with another within their catchment area. So depending on where they are, where they're living, they'll be able to re-register, I think, with the local GP. The funding that would originally have gone to the one practice to have them on their list would then instead go to a different practice. But ultimately, these decisions really are being made by the practices themselves in terms of managing their own capacity and their own workloads.
Do we not foresee difficulties for the other practices as well? Because this is about 300 patients being sent towards Peel, for example. Surely the Peel doctors are then going to be under even more pressure as well, and it's going to drive up waiting times there. It's just like offshooting the issue and moving it from Ballasalla to Peel, really.
So again, the resourcing that would originally have gone with those patients to the one practice will follow them to a different practice. So the funding essentially goes with them. The way that our health system is currently structured is that GPs are required to provide a certain level of service for the patients living in their area, and it's their responsibility to deliver on that service in line with the contracts that exist. It is something that I am quite keen to review. I think from my own perspective, I get a lot of complaints from constituents and people all over the island actually about the quality of service they get from their GP. Generally, it's not about the medical service they get. That tends to be pretty well received. It tends to be things like accessing appointments, the amount of time it takes to get an appointment. That kind of thing tends to come up more often. So there could very well be a funding question here. You know, are we actually funding enough? Do we have enough GPs? Are other questions that probably need to be looked at. But also there's probably support that can be provided there to Manx Care and through Manx Care to the GP practices to maybe support them on some of the other back office administrative work or processing. There's definitely stuff that can be done, I think, to improve the system. But as it stands right now, unfortunately, the way the system is working and the way that it's been set up to work for a very long time, I mean, decades here, is that GPs are very much independent businesses and are given a set of resources to manage their patients in line with the contract. And provided they're doing that, that's the way the system has been designed. Now, if that's quite a fundamental change, if you want to move away from that model, whereby these contracts are quite lightly managed, essentially, if we do want to take tighter control over the way GP practices function, that's definitely a conversation that could happen. There is a massive piece of work going on at the moment in collaboration with GPs and the primary care network, which is broadly referred to as primary care at scale. And what that is, it's as part of the healthcare transformation program, is around looking at some of these complex questions, some of these big questions, and actually trying to say, well, actually, what is the right model of GP care, of primary care in the future? We are very keen, I think, as a department, to push more care out into our communities, to get care away from the hospitals, to make sure people can actually access the right care that they need as close to home as possible. The fundamental question, though, is how you do that, how you fund that change, how you support the practices and other primary care providers through that change. And it isn't a quick fix. It isn't a quick solve. But I think we're on the right journey. It's just a case of trying to manage some of the ups and downs, I think, as we get there.
Is this then a concern going forward? I mean, government has this pledge to grow the population to 100,000. Obviously, that is a big goal in general. But if this is already an issue for, this is an oversubscribed medical centre and we're talking in the number of about 300 patients, surely trying to bring over even more people, is that not just going to put even more pressure on a system that clearly isn't already working?
So that I think that's a fundamental misunderstanding, I think, of the government's economic strategy that was approved by Turnbull this week. And it actually, I think, a fundamental misunderstanding of the problems that we're facing. So by way of an example, if we want to, the strategy talks about building the infrastructure for 100,000 people. So the priority here is actually sorting out these problems so that as the population does grow, it will grow, it is growing, those are unavoidable facts. As the population does grow, we have the infrastructure ready to accept people to come into the island, rather than focusing on let's grow the population for its own sake. Actually, the economic strategy is very clear that what we're focusing on is building the infrastructure to support a larger population. So it very much is an infrastructure first approach. The second point is a lot of these people that we're going to be attracting are going to be healthcare workers. We know we need more GPs, we need more consultants, we need more nurses, we need more mental health support, we need more social workers. We know all of these things to be true. So we are going to need to bring these people in. When we bring all these staff in, they will have families, they will need medical care, they will need schools. And so it brings us right back to that infrastructure question that says if we're going to try and solve some of the problems we have today, we need to properly resource and properly staff our health and care services. And the only way we can do that is by attracting more people in to work inside the health and care service. So the way we solve some of these problems around do we have enough GPs is to get more GPs. Do we have enough nurses? We get more nurses. And inevitably, then that will improve services for our current residents as well as the residents we hope will be coming to live in the Isle of Man in the future.
Going on to criticisms that some of our listeners have flagged to us about this as well, just to get your thoughts on them. Obviously, the way that GP appointments work nowadays, it's very rare that you have like a home visit. You know, usually you get an appointment time at a GP practice and you go for that appointment. So if as long as you're on time to that appointment, surely it shouldn't really matter where you're registered. If you were, say you live in Ramsey but you work in Douglas, if you get an appointment in the middle of the day, it would be easiest to go to an appointment in Douglas. So why is this sort of boundary issue that's been set by the Department of Health and Social Care now being used as an excuse?
That's actually a really good question. If I'm honest, I don't know why the original catchment areas were set. It's not a recent policy. This has been the case for as long as I can remember, that GPs do have their own catchment areas. It will be part of the way the contract is worded with the GPs. So I'd imagine in order to change that, there'll need to be agreement across the board on how that happens. But in principle, I would have no personal objection to actually exploring, is that still fit for purpose? You know, does this catchment area model work effectively, or do we need to open up the market essentially to more patient choice? So patients feel they're not getting a good enough service from their local surgery, maybe they should be able to register with a different surgery and get support that way, provided they're happy with it. Obviously, that does then introduce an element, a further element, essentially, of privatisation or incentivisation into the NHS market on the Isle of Man, which I think intrinsically I'd be uncomfortable with. The NHS should be a service that's available to everybody. It shouldn't really be that we shouldn't be financially incentivising providers to undertake certain behaviours or activities in a way that may be detrimental to other patients. patients onto the broader NHS. So there's definitely a lot of valid concerns about why you may not wish to open up catchment areas and encourage more of that kind of competitive nature between practices. But equally, I think, like your listener has quite rightly highlighted, there may be some very valid reasons as to why you might want to have a look at some of those questions.
That was the Health and Social Care Minister Laurie Hooper talking to me about the unfolding situation at Ballasalla Medical Centre. Just a quick side note for you before you go, Max Radio has contacted all the relevant MHKs in this situation, and so we'll have updates for you as and when we get them on maxradio.com.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.